Hello, and welcome back to the Essential Astrocast. I am your host, Veronica Peretti, and I am getting over my eclipse hangover. So I'm recording this on Wednesday, April 10th. We only have two transits this week, so this is going to be a super quick episode because there's two transits and they're happening pretty much right now. So I want to get this out to you. And really, the main event was the solar eclipse on Monday. So I hope you got a chance to see it. We got to see it here in New York. I am in Westchester, so I am closer to New York City. We had 92% totality, which in hindsight, I do kind of regret not packing up the car and driving, you know, 5-6 hours north to be in the path of 100% totality. But it was still really awesome. We got to enjoy it from our deck and just relax, and it was great. And we were lucky. We had no cloud cover until right after. So about 10 minutes after the peak, we got a lot of clouds here where I live. So we got to enjoy it. And I hope you got to enjoy it if you were in a place where you could see it. And if not, you still felt it because eclipses are intense. And this one really packed a punch, as I said in my email on Tuesday. So I sent a little email just recapping the eclipse and telling people about a few events I have coming up this month. You definitely want to be on my email list. So if you're not on it, it is just my website, veronicaperetti.com, and you'll see an opt-in right at the top of the website. I send, you know, a little bit of information about the astrology every week, as well as a little something about what's going on with me sometimes. And if you want to come to any of my workshops or sign up for the monthly Cosmic Conversation and Contemplation, you definitely want to be on there so you get those reminders. Another exciting thing, we have what was called Moonday Meditation and Cosmic Conversation. I'm now calling Cosmic Conversation and Contemplation because the conversation is really the main event. But we are going to make sure that this month we leave a little time to do some writing, some journaling, because it is really, really helpful to ground your energy and feel into your inner knowing, as well as tune into what the energy of the cosmos is. So the next one will be in a couple of weeks. It's going to be, I'm going to add it to the show notes as well so you can sign up, but it's 5 o'clock Eastern time on April 15th, tax day here in the US. So hopefully you will join us for that. And I love doing those. It's so fun to just chat with you guys about astrology and talk about what's going on up in the heavens and just see how it's energetically playing out for you. And if we've never met before, it's a great way for us to meet. And yeah, I love doing them. They're really great. It's on Zoom. You can come from anywhere in the world. I'm doing them once a month. The next 2 months are posted. So you can use the link in the show notes or in the emails that I send out and sign up for that. Totally free, complimentary. Would love to have you join us for Cosmic Conversation and Contemplation, which is what we're calling it now. So after the eclipse, you often get this eclipse hangover because the eclipse is like a power surge. So normally we like our electricity to be consistent, right? So if you're on a Zoom call, you want to make sure that the power is consistent, the internet is consistent. We don't like when we get those surges of energy because that boots us offline. It's too much to handle. And that's what eclipses can feel like. They can feel like this surge of energy that's almost too much to handle. And then after the eclipse, you often feel really wiped out. And that's why we call it an eclipse hangover. Technically, we have 2 more weeks of eclipse season, but this was the second of two. So usually eclipses come in pairs. We have eclipses twice a year. We always have them. We always feel them, whether or not you are in a place where you can visibly see it. So oftentimes eclipses occur over the ocean or over Antarctica. So you are not in a place where you would probably see it. but we still feel them. So even if you didn't get to view the eclipse this week, you still felt it, and we always do. So twice a year we get these eclipses when a new moon or a full moon occurs near the nodes of fate. And the nodes of fate are two spots in the sky where the ecliptic, which is the sun's apparent path around the earth, of course we know the earth goes around the sun, but it's from our viewpoint, because astrology is always from our viewpoint. We are the hero of our own story. So the sun's apparent path around the earth is the ecliptic, and then the lunar orbit around the earth. And when those two spots where those two paths meet is where we have the nodes. And right now we have the north node in Aries and the south node in Libra. So collectively we are working on releasing lots of things that have to do with people pleasing or old relationships or old partnerships that just aren't serving us anymore. Maybe you're up leveling your relationships. Maybe in your relationship you are working through some old patterns that aren't helping you. Those are some ways that the south node in Libra might be manifesting for you. And the north node in Aries is about moving toward where we feel a sense of authority, where we feel a sense of autonomy, independence, individuality, honoring our self-expression, allowing ourselves to be brave and courageous and out there. Aries is always willing to bust down the door and say, I'm here. And I know that because I have a lot of Aries in my chart, as I always tell you guys. So this eclipse is season, and these series of eclipses that we're in, and we've been in this series since July 2023, has been lighting up my chart like crazy. So I've had a lot of energy, and certainly I'm feeling the eclipse hangover. But you might notice that with this eclipse that we just had, because the eclipse, the new moon in Aries, was conjunct Chiron, you might notice that you had a lot of integrating of some healing work that you've been doing. So if you've been doing some healing work, you might feel like it's all sort of starting to come into play, or it's all starting to come and fit into the puzzle. So sometimes with that Chiron, it can make us feel more vulnerable. It can make us feel more of the pain. But then we also perhaps get a dose of the medicine. So you might have had that experience. I know I had that experience for sure. And you might have that experience over the next few weeks and months, because eclipse season isn't over until the next lunation, which is not an eclipse. So the next lunation is in 2 weeks. It's going to be a full moon in Taurus. So once we have that full moon in, full moon in Scorpio, it'll be the sun will be in Taurus and the full moon will be in Scorpio, because the moon reflects the light sun, the sun's light. Thank you. I don't know what's going on tonight, but I'm not editing because I'm letting it be easy. Remember, those of you that have been listening know that this is my year. My mantra for the year is let it be easy. So I will not be editing, and I will leave that messy stuff in there, and you get to see how the sausage gets made this year on the podcast. So with that said, full moon in Scorpio, April 23rd, that will officially kick out eclipse season. But we're already feeling a bit of relief, a bit of the pressure being released. So imagine, I always say eclipse season can feel like a pressure cooker. So, you know, you put something in the slow cooker, it takes 4 or 5 hours to cook, but you put it in the pressure cooker, it takes 12 minutes. You know, when it flips and it's the steam starts to be released, we're starting that process. So we still got a lot of steam in there, but at least we're now getting the release, right? And that beginning of the release is such a relief. So that's where we are in eclipse season. We are also halfway through Mercury retrograde this week, because we have Mercury Kazemi. So Mercury Kazemi means that Mercury and the Sun are joined. And so it is said that when a planet is conjunct the sun, or within 10 degrees of the sun, it is being overshadowed. It's being overshined. The shine of the sun is too bright for it. It can't really operate normally. But then something amazing happens. that planet enters what we call the heart of the sun, which is what Kazemi means, and it's purified by the sun. And so it's sort of like when you put your finger in the candlelight flame, and once you get your finger in there, you don't really even feel it, right? That idea of white hot. But once it's if you get your finger really close to the flame, it would burn you. So it's funny because my son, on his first birthday, we had the candle and we had actually practiced with him, but for some reason we lit the big one candle and he just grabbed it. He grabbed the flame and put it out with his hand, and he wasn't hurt. He was upset because I think it went out, and then I lit it again and he did it again and he had no burn. He didn't seem to be hurt. He seemed to be upset that the light went out. So that's the idea of Mercury Kazemi. It is purified and reborn and even stronger and even more luminous. So Mercury Kazemi always occurs at the very middle of the Mercury retrograde period. And so we know we're halfway through. And it's the best day of Mercury retrograde because it's a day where, amidst all this confusion of Mercury retrograde, we get a moment of clarity. So on the 11th, you might get a moment of clarity. You might get a moment of feeling electrified because Mercury is, of course, the co-ruler of our nervous system with Uranus, and Gemini, the moon is in Gemini that day. So the moon is going to be answering to that Mercury in the heart of the sun. So there is a feeling of electricity. There's a feeling of being really thing. Your brain is really turned on the 11th. You might have just these moments of clarity that hit you, or these moments of inspiration that come out of nowhere. So give yourself a little time on Thursday, the 11th, if you're listening to this before that, to be with your thoughts. You know, don't necessarily overpack your day. Well, the moon's in Gemini, so that tends to make us want to be social and busy and talking to people. So it's going to be hard to do that. But pay attention to what's going on in terms of your field of consciousness in your mind. And that's one of the benefits of yoga, right? So we practice yoga so that we can be more comfortable being still, more comfortable being in the quiet, and be able to witness our consciousness. That is the ultimate goal of yoga, is to be in the state of yoga. And the state of yoga is where we can witness our consciousness and then be free of the movements of the mind that go, I like, I don't like, this is good, this is bad. When we are free of that, when we're inhabiting a neutral mind, we experience peace, we experience presence, we experience contentment, all those things that all of us are probably looking for. And that's one of the reasons I bring the yoga into the astrology and the astrology into the yoga, because the astrology is like a mirror helping us see ourselves clearly. But the yoga is really necessary for us to have the ability to sit with ourselves and to do the work of self-reflection. And of course, you can join me in Cosmic Yoga Club and do all that. We do all of it together. And right now it's Aries season, so we're doing lots of neck and head stuff, lots of good face massage and TMJ release and some neck therapy. So if you need that stuff, we're doing it in Cosmic Yoga Club. We're also doing some pranayama, and we're really allowing ourselves time to rest because it's eclipse season and it's Mercury retrograde. And both of those things are invitations from the universe saying it is time to rest, slow down, pause, breathe deeper. Don't rush. You have time. These are the messages that the universe is sending us. So that's what we have going on with the Mercury Kazemi. I'm really excited for that on the 11th. It's also conjunct my natal Mars, so I'm like ready to feel electrified. But there's one thing that's happening this week before that, and that is happening on Wednesday when I am recording this for you. Mars is conjunct Saturn, and that is happening in Pisces. So You might remember from last week that I said on the podcast, there's all this Aries energy, but it feels really funky because all this Aries energy is answering to Mars in Pisces, and Mars in Pisces is not a go-getter. Mars does not feel comfortable in Pisces. He wants to be in Aries where he goes, goes, goes. But Mars in Pisces is a little more passive, passive aggressive, passive in terms of just not necessarily motivated. What I like about this is that if you have some things that you're working on, if there are some structures, habits, systems in your life that you need to get back to, the Mars conjunct Saturn can help you do that. It is not the most welcomed transit because people often find that it feels like they're driving with the parking brake on. It feels like I want to go, but I can't. There's a restlessness of feeling like I should be moving forward, but something's holding me back. I always say Saturn is for our benefit, right? So Saturn's not fun, but he often is looking out for our best interest. So in that way, Mars and Saturn coming together, Saturn might be holding you back, but that is for your best interest, right? We don't need to be with all this dynamic, chaotic, unreliable energy that we're working with eclipse season. We don't need to be running forward and launching all these things, right? We need to take a little time and allow them to unfold. Now, granted, eclipse season can sometimes make stuff happen and you're just like, wow, I did not expect this. And now I am leaving my job, or I'm getting a new job, or all of a sudden this great apartment opened up and I have to take it. Those things happen in eclipse season. There's something about eclipse season events that feel very fated. So of course, trust your intuition. Remember, intuition is wisdom, is what helps you know if you're experiencing intuition or anxiety or something else, right? So when you get quiet with yourself, and this is where the yoga and meditation is useful, it's helpful to help you know, is this intuition or is this my emotions playing out? So if you have really cool opportunities that are opening up for you with eclipse season and your intuition is saying, go grab that, trust it. But Mars and Saturn together, Saturn might be kind of slow in your roll because that's what Saturn does. He wants us to take our time and do the due diligence. So it can be irritating, frustrating, it can create a restlessness. But on the other hand, it might be great for doing work that requires sustained motivation and determination. So if you've been away from, you know, checking your finances, doing your bookkeeping, moving your body, maybe you've been away from taking care of yourself in terms of drinking enough water or seeing friends, whatever it is that you know that you want to do, but you just haven't felt motivated to get to it, this might help you start to find some sustained motivation, put one foot in front of the other in terms of building the habit back or creating a new system that works for you. Or just revisiting an old system because it is Mercury retrograde and reviving it. That might be something too. I always find Mars-Saturn conjunctions to be really helpful to reviving a system, a structure, a habit that perhaps I have fallen off of but want to get back to. I don't think Mars-Saturn is bad. I kind of like it personally. So that's what's going on. But if you do feel like you're being held back, it could be Saturn's influence. All right. So with the eclipse over, you might be feeling relieved. Mercury Kazemi is going to give us a little moment of clarity. And Mars Saturn is giving us a dose of discernment. And discernment is good, particularly when there is so much chaotic energy. So I hope you are enjoying the eclipse aftermath. Hopefully you're feeling energized. Even if you had the hangover, hopefully it's lifting. get a lot of rest, you know, drink a lot of water. If you can, take a salt bath. Those are really, really good for eclipse season. Anytime you can do some cleansing, write in your journal, reflect. This is a wonderful time for reflection. We have Mercury retrograde. We're in eclipse season. It is not a time for intention setting or manifestation or making the universe conform to your agenda. It's time to slow down and listen to your inner knowing. And so I hope you make some space for that. Have a wonderful week, and I'll talk to you next week. We got some big, big, big stuff coming, and I'm excited to dig into it with you. All right. I'll talk to you soon. Bye. One more thing before you go. If you like the show, please subscribe, follow, rate, and review it. It really helps other astrology enthusiasts find the Essential Astrocast. And even better, send this episode to one of your friends who you know will appreciate it. It would mean the world to me, and it will help more people find the podcast. Okay, until next time, may the stars shine brightly upon you.